At the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Every tongue must confess that He is the King, He is the Lord, He is the I am that I am. He is the omnipotent, the omniscient, the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-able God.
Oh, Jesus, 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 how I love, how I love, calling your name,
oh, Jesus,
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 Jesus.
Every day, your name is your
song. Jesus,
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 Jesus.
Our Lord,
I love, I love,
calling your name.
Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus,
every day,
your name is the same.
Our Lord,
calling your name. Your name is the same.
How I love,
calling your name every day. Your name is the same.
How I love,
calling your name. Every day, your name is the same.
Our love, calling your name.
Every day, your name is the same.
Oh, our love,
our love. Calling your name,
I call your name
every day.
Every day,
your name is the same.
Our Lord, I love,
calling your name. Your name is the same.
Just like you to lift up your voice in worship to the Lord Almighty this morning. Just lift up your voice in worship. Just lift up your voice in worship. Lift up your voice in worship. Magnify Him, magnify Him, exalt Him, extol the name of the I am that I am. Oh, Mariande gele mono shindele andre de mono sindre gele maniando le andre de mono shindele. Oh, Mariande le embre de nene mono shindele. Oh, Brianda gana maniande le vosondre de nene mono indele andre gele mono shindele. Maniandre gele mono shindele. Oh, Mariande gele mono shindele andre de vos shindele gele mono sindre gele mono shindele. Oh, Marianne, le monoshin, le monoson, le gerimoro, le gerimoro. Oh, mani andele mono nere. Oh, many and runo mono shindele mono sombre and a mono shindele bondre de bono de liang. I sense this illustration coming up in my heart, and I would like to share it with us this morning. I sense the Spirit of God saying that there are people under the sound of my voice who, your case is like that of Naaman. It is not that you are not successful. It is not as if things are not working, but there is this one thing that has become a thorn in your flesh. And he said, when Naaman came to Elisha, Elisha did not even come out. The Bible says Elisha didn't even come out. He just sent the servant and said, tell him to go and wash in the river, the Jordan River. And Naaman said, he didn't even come out and touch me. And God said, I should say to you, you don't need anybody to touch you. He said, you just need to swim in the river. In the river of his worship. There are many of us that do not understand that the worship, when you worship God, it's like a river that flows out of your heart. He said, if you swim in the river, he said, that thing that is a thorn in your flesh will become a testimony for you. I enter the Holy of Holies. I enter through the blood of the Lamb. I enter to worship you, Holy. I enter to honor I am. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. For your name is holy.
Holy, holy Lord,
holy.
is holy. Father, there are no words enough to appreciate you. There are no words enough to worship you. There are no words enough to describe the magnificence of the God we serve. There are no words enough that will ascribe all the greatness and all the glory that is yours. But Lord, I worship this morning. We worship you this morning. We lift up our voice to you this morning. Because you are the King of Kings. You are Alpha and Omega. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we bless you. For your name is holy, the holiest of holies, the highest of the highest, the greatest of the greatest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Have all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we worship. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord Almighty. Amen. Psalm says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. God deserves all the worship. I'd like you to turn your Bibles with me this morning to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. We had the privilege of reading that scripture this morning. We go back there. Like we heard, God is re-emphasizing that Goliath will be conquered. Because the people that God is talking to are not here. You know, one of the thoughts that has been occurring, one of the encounters in the Bible that has been occurring in my mind. Because people have been asking me, why? Are you sure that the team is correct? And I said, yes, the team is correct. It's not wrong. And it was, I've been emphasizing my mind, and God, I felt my spirit go back. The Bible says that Elisha called the king when he was about to pass on. And he gave him the arrow and the bow. And he said, you should shoot. And he said, the number of times you shoot will determine how much or the victories you have over the Assyrians. The Bible says, and he shot 3 times. And he stopped. And Elisha said, why did you stop? God said to me that you have not shot enough. That's why. Amen. So I'm trusting God that today we are going to shoot more. And Goliath will be defeated in the name of Jesus. Daddy said something to us when we were having the pastor's meeting. He said, until when Goliath is killed, Goliath can stand up to torment you again. So we are killing Goliath. Finally, finally. I said, finally, finally. Hallelujah. First Samuel chapter 17. We're going to read the first 8 verses of 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we use it to lay a foundation for what I believe God wants to speak to us this morning. And the subtitle to this morning's to the theme for this month is the devices of Goliath. The devices of Goliath. 1 Samuel chapter 17 says, now the Philistines gathered their armies. That's from verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle, and were gathered at Socoh, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Socoh and Azekah in Ephes Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, that is about 9 feet. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. For those of us who are reading King James, that is about 58 kilograms. So he was wearing a coat of arms that was 58 kilograms. That is the average weight of most women. Amen. When I read it, I thought to myself, this man, you carry a whole woman. And you're weighing. Hallelujah. He said, and he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. That's almost close like 6 kilograms, I think they said. Now, notice they said this is the spearhead, not the spear. So the head of his spear, that pointed part of it, is what weighed 600 shekels. And a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. I will stop there. The devices of Goliath. I don't know, there are some things that I believe is important for us, or it's good for us to just take note of. I don't know if you noticed in the first verse, the Bible says they had come to Socoh, and Socoh belonged to Judah. So they were not fighting, the Israelites were not fighting the Philistines in neutral territory. They were fighting them on their own land. It was not a joke. It is not a question of saying they are coming to attack us. They had already arrived. And when you look at our lives, sometimes that is the challenge we face. The enemies we are battling with are not the enemies that are coming. That the enemies have already arrived. So when God says they are conquering Goliath, he's not talking about the people that are far. He's talking about people that are present. What the army people will call it, I hope Baba Bimana doesn't fight me for this one. Army people will call it near and present danger. Said they were already at Socoh in the land of Judah. But I want to further draw attention to something in verse 8, and most likely, at least for the early part, we'll dwell on verse 8 a lot. He said to them that they should choose a man for themselves and let that man come and fight. Please permit me to say to you that the greatest battle you face in life are your personal battles. Goliath was not asking for a general war. Goliath was talking about a man-to-one-man war. This is not about everybody. This is about me and one person. Sometimes it is easy to fight a good battle, especially when you are united, because when you are united, all of you have a purpose. You can support each other. The Bible says, like Jesus said, if one should chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000. He said, when two people lie on the bed, they give comfort to each other. So there is always something about having support that gives you an advantage. But Goliath was not asking for that kind of battle. He was asking for a one-on-one battle. He was telling Israel, look, this is not about all of us. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but this is not about everybody. Like that song says, it's not about your brother, it's not about your sister. It is me, oh Lord. This is about the battles that you are fighting. It is not necessarily the battles that we are fighting. So Goliath called for one person. So he was saying, come out, don't hide. It's like, don't hide behind somebody, anybody. If anybody stepped out, there was no support. It is a question of you on your own. That's what he was trying to say. But I have to wish for somebody here, they're not on your own. They're not on your own. So when Goliath called a man to come out, what should be the response? Because when you look at the kind of scenario of the person that they've described, let's be sincere. When you start, sometimes when you stand there beside someone that is 6 feet, you feel short. Talk about someone that is 9 feet. I don't know how to describe 9 feet now. 9 feet is taller than me. I'm 6 feet something. And so if you add like half of me again, top, then you. Because when I stand beside people that are maybe 6 feet plus, I feel short. I'm looking at them like this. It means everybody that was looking at Goliath would be looking at him as if they're looking at the stone view. Question now becomes, how do you deal with such a danger? I'm not a military person, but at least I have read books and I have come to learn that in the military, when the military use strategy, there's what they call reconnaissance. It is where you go to spy and find out information about your neighbor, about your enemy. What do they have? What do they have? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 shares a very pertinent scripture. Because you see, no effective warrior goes into battle blind. If you are going to win a war, you don't go blind. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. I like to ask people, how many Christians actually are not really ignorant of the devices of the enemy? Another word would be to say, when you say devices, to say the weapons, the strategy of your enemy. It says, lest Satan should take advantage of us. Paraphrase, lest the enemy should take advantage of us. Lest Goliath should take advantage of me because I am ignorant of the devices of Goliath. Because I do not understand how Goliath is fighting his war. If you study, you know, at least, please permit me to be as a little. Check the little military knowledge I have. I've learned one thing, at least reading and all those gatherings of getting knowledge, that you realize that when most battles are very difficult for armies to fight, and when you fight guerrilla fighters, people that are not, will not face you. Because guerrilla tactics are very hard to deal with. At least when you know, when you see the person you are fighting, you know what you are facing. But when somebody is coming and is hiding in the wood, especially like when the Vietnam War was, I don't know anything about what was happening there. I've never been there, so I don't know how mighty good it is. Or what's another forest? Sambisa. I don't know how it is. But at least the Americans, in their knowledge, have given us a little peek of how it is when you fight people who will not come out to fight you directly. So during the Vietnam War, for example, that's how the Vietnamese fought. They will just take the, they will go and hide in the thick forest where they know that the Americans don't know the forest, they don't know the way. And then they will hide in one bush. And when you are walking past, people will just appear from your back. Just kill all of you. Before you, you will shout what's happening, they've already disappeared. Every war has a tactics. Every battle has a strategy. And your enemy has weapons. And for you to know how to deal with your enemy, you must know the kind of weapons your enemy carry. What is the strategy your enemy is using? Paul said, if you do not want to be taken advantage of, if you don't want the enemy to have an advantage over you, you must know what the device of your enemy is. Because if you do not know your enemy, you will fall prey to your enemy. If you don't know what your enemy carries, if you don't know what your enemy is like, you will become food for your enemy. So, what are some of the devices that Goliath employed against Israel? The first device of the enemy that we talk about, because we can't speak about all of them, is the device of deception, the device of lies. Please, let's be aware of this. The enemy doesn't win necessarily because the enemy is stronger. Most of the time, the enemy wins because we are deceived. It is not every time that a man is defeated because the person he's fighting or the people that are fighting him are stronger. Most of the time, it is because there is a lie that he believes that puts him at a disadvantage. If you look at that verse 8 very well, and I've had the privilege of reading this scripture several over the past few weeks, and verse 8 has jumped out of me. When Goliath said to Israel, he said to them, "Are you not the servants of Saul?" Question, were they the servants of Saul? What were they? They were the servants of God. So the first thing he did, and they were not conscious of it, but the first thing he did was he told them something that they were not, and they accepted it as such. How many times has Satan told you, "Do you think you are valuable?" God does not save people like you. I remember some years back, I was praying for all my friends, with all my friends about the situation. And I remember that night I was praying, and as I was praying, I could hear this voice say to me, he said, "You just finish me, I will deal with you." And that day, God said something to me that changed my life. And he said, "It was not Satan that created you, and Satan did not save you. And because Satan did not save you, Satan cannot determine your value." The moment I had that, I intensified my prayer. Because I told myself, there is nothing that the enemy can do that can change and be greater than what God has done for me. I know whom I belong to. The first thing God did was that he said something to them that made them to change their focus, because he said to them, he said, "You are the servants of Saul." So if they are the servants of Saul, who would they look up to? So both they and Saul were afraid. And since Saul is afraid, then what should they do? Amen. When you're a leader, you understand that when people come and they are talking and everybody's afraid, and you are the leader, you too are afraid. It has finished. So sometimes when the leader is standing, no matter how afraid he is, as he's standing, everybody will, some people will follow him and stand. They might not be standing because they are not afraid, they are just standing because they say, let him not die alone. But Goliath will always sow a seed of lies so that he can gain entrance into the camp to destroy you. So we must be wary of the lies of Goliath, because when Goliath sows the seed of deception, his purpose is to shift our focus. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it said, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, I love the fact that they describe the way Goliath looked. And I was thinking to myself, who will see such a specimen of a person and not look, the Bible said, if you read the Numbers or in Deuteronomy, the Bible said that when Israel looked at the giants, when they went to spy at them, they said they were like grasshoppers. I don't know how tall those people were, but I can almost assure you that when the army looked at themselves and looked at Goliath, they too, they felt like grasshoppers. And do you understand? Hello, can you please understand? Do you understand something? For somebody to, they were not near each other. The Bible says they were on two different hills, two different mountains. So they were not near each other. For you to see how big somebody is from far, he must be big. If he was not big, they would not be afraid. If he looked like them, they'll say, okay, he looked like us. But when they looked at him, they could see that this person is not like us. The truth is, God is not saying that the problem is not big. At no point did God come and tell them, Goliath is not big, don't worry about it. They could see it. But like Paul said, he said, we walk by faith, we do not walk by sight. Because the problem looks big does not mean that you cannot destroy it. Because the enemy looks gigantic, the enemy looks beyond your ability, does not mean that that enemy is not going to fall. All that bravado, it lies. One of the things I've learned in my life is that every time you meet somebody, nobody shows you their weak spot. How many of you ever met somebody and the person say, you see, if you want to destroy me, just enter this. Nobody shows you their weak spot. Even Goliath will not tell anybody, this is my weak spot. But no matter how big a problem is, no matter how big a challenge is, no matter how big the enemy is, there is a weak spot that God can show you to destroy your enemies. And I speak to your life that God will give you the insight to destroy your enemies. Because when you look at your enemies for too long, you begin to think, you begin to doubt who you are. That song says, I'm walking in power. I'm walking in miracles. I live a life of favor. Abi, I know who I am. I've asked a lot of people, do you really know who you are? We sing the song, we dance to the song, but do we really know who we are? Because if we do, then some of the challenges that we are facing, as big as they are, we will keep telling them, I walk in power, I walk in miracles, I live a life of favor, I know who I am. Because you see, Goliath is trying to tell you that you are not who you are. Goliath is trying to tell you that you are not more than conquerors through Christ. But my Bible says that we are more than conquerors. I like the phrase, we are more than. It means, I'm not just an overcomer, I am more than one. Do you know who you are? Or has the lies of the enemy turned your mind away from who you are? The Bible says they were afraid. If you go to verse 11 of that scripture, it said they were dismayed and greatly afraid. The Message Bible says they lost hope. But Goliath started with a lie. Deception. I was thinking to myself, if the Philistines were so powerful as an army, did they need Goliath? Please permit me to say to you, that problem Satan is throwing your way is just because he's not as powerful as he claims to be. Goliath is a distraction. Goliath is to make you not to believe that you are who God says you are. There are times in our lives when something comes against you and you are looking at yourself and asking yourself, am I maybe or I don't know how many of you are like me, that when things go bad sometimes, that you remember all the bad things people have said about you. That's why you remember that your father said you will never succeed. Your mother said that your leg will do a leg. That you just, everything that people have said will just flood into your mind. But the Bible, my Bible says that God will lift up a standard against them. I pray for you. That every lie that Satan is sending your way, God will lift up a standard against them. Yeah. Every lie people are saying and telling about you, God will lift a standard against them. Yeah. As I told this, I just remembered when I met someone one day and the person was talking to me and said, before I met you, I always thought that you were a very wicked person. Like I said to them in my office, I'm still a wicked person. I'm a human being, so I can admit. He said, but I thought you're a very wicked person. He said, because I've heard so many things about you. And I smiled. I said, so now you have experience. What is your testimony? Said, you're a very nice person. I said, okay, that's a good testimony. Amen. But look, there are lies that people send ahead of you that make people hate you where they're not supposed to hate you. What's the second tool or device that Goliath employed? Verse 16. Verse 16 of that 1 Samuel chapter 17. It says, and the Philistine drew near, the Philistine is Goliath, drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Haba. 40 days, morning and evening. That is intimidation. Hello? That is intimidation. He didn't do it in the morning and then they will sleep. He does it when they wake up. So they are thinking about it through the day. And then he will do it just before they go to sleep so that they can dream about it through the night. Ah, God will curse Satan. I don't say that normally, but Kai, I have to say it today. God will curse the spirit of wickedness. Look, there is a spirit of wickedness that wants to intimidate people. He said, he came day, morning and evening, 40 days. Ah. But we have a God that delivers. Intimidation. He was persistently displaying his power. Constantly, he was displaying his power. And he was making fun of them by extension. What can you do? Everyone that has asked, what can you do? In this season where Goliath will be conquered, I said that God will show you what to do. And they will be put to shame in the name of Jesus. And what was the purpose of the intimidation? It was so that they would lose confidence. I'm not a politician, so I won't talk about politics. But you know, there was a time in this country when you don't just call a certain president's name anyhow. Those of you that were alive, you understand what I'm saying. I'm not calling anybody's name. So you don't call it. You know, there was a time when even in your bedroom, you used to think about it before you. You have to be sure that nobody can hear you. I remember when they were doing the trial of one of his aides after he died. And the person, and one man said he was just in the beer parlor and he was just talking to his friend. And he said something about the president. And he was picked up from there. And he was tortured. He just made his own, just gave an opinion. The purpose of intimidation is so that you will lose your voice. I pray for you. You will not lose your voice in the name of Jesus. Goliath intimidated them day and night. 40 days. There are people who intimidate you where you work, not because what you're asking for is not your right, but because they want you to give up your rights. Look, intimidation is not about whether you are, no, it's not always about whether you're right or wrong. It's because somebody wants to take advantage of you. They want to silence you. Do you know why Satan does not give up? Because he believes that the more he attacks you, the more likely it is that you give up. I was talking to someone recently, and the person had been going through a tough time. The person sent me a message and said to me, "When will this end?" And I said to the person, "Well, I don't know when it will end, but I know that if you hold on, you overcome." I do not have the times and seasons in my hands, but I know something, that the one who way out, it is the one that outlives the enemy that is the victor. You don't have to be the best fighter to be the victor. You just have to outlive your enemy to be the victor. And sometimes the enemy is coming in like a flood. They are banging every day. They are just, every day it is one thing after the other. I was talking to the person. I said, "Can you think about Job? Did you think about Job? Imagine what it was like for Job to wake up one morning and they said everything you have has disappeared." And he was still trying to come to terms with, "Okay, I've lost everything I am." And then they come back and say, "All your children have died." And well, I have lost my property. I have lost this. I've lost my children. Okay, fine. And I'm sure in his mind, he'll say, "Okay, well, I will just have other children." And then he became sick. How does a sick man have other children? Hello? Even if he wanted to have other children, Where will he start from? Is it with the sores in his body? Is it with the pain that he'll be looking for other children? What will he be looking for? He's looking for his health. Intimidation. The enemy knows they cannot intimidate, they cannot overcome you if you don't fall into their trap. So they intimidate you so that you can fall into the trap. You know, sometimes when people say things like, how many of you have ever seen when people dare people? If you know that you are the son of your father, you will do this. When I was younger, I don't like when people dare me because I can do it too. I don't like people asking me to prove that I'm something that I know I am. If you tell me, if you know that you are strong, you do it. I will do it. So that I will show you that I'm strong. But it is foolishness to do what people dare you to do because they want to put you in trouble. Wisdom teaches you that you don't need to prove to somebody what you are. Who you are is who you are, whether they believe it or not. So when you say to me, if you know you are the son of your father, I don't need to. My father knows I'm his son. I know I'm his son. I don't need your permission to be his son. That was what Jesus was saying to Satan when he said, if you know you are the son of the living God. He looked at him and said, what are you talking about? I don't need your permission to be the son of the living God. You didn't give birth to me. So how can you be telling me to prove to you that I'm the son? There are some of us, you are proving to people what you don't need to prove. They have intimidated you into becoming their slave because you are living your life to try to prove to them that you are what you already are. You are what you are, whether somebody agrees or not. Like my mother will say, whether you believe or you don't believe it, God is God. He doesn't need your permission to be God. And that also goes for me. Whether you believe it or not, I am a child of God. I don't need your permission to be one. God didn't ask your permission to save me. So I don't need your permission to be his child. Hello? Anybody that tries out with my son, Holy Ghost fire. Because when I was having my son, I didn't come and take permission from you. So don't challenge my children, whether they're my children or not. Intimidation. Goliath might be powerful, but Goliath is not the all-powerful. Your problem might be strong, but it is not the all-powerful. No problem in this world is omnipotent. No situation in this world is omniscient. There is no situation in this world, there is no challenge, there is no enemy in this world that can live longer than God. And can I tell you something else? There is no challenge, there is no enemy, they've not created the devil to never be created, that will outlive the promise of God over your life. If God has said something about you, there is no Satan that can outlive that promise. So when the enemy is talking to you and telling and trying to intimidate you and showing you his power and bringing one problem, there's this principle, I've forgotten what they said, that when something is going to go wrong, everything goes wrong at the same time. There's a scientific name for it. That everything that can go wrong goes wrong at the same time. When it does, please do not fall into the trap. It is an intimidation from the pit of hell. When this happens and that happens, and then you start saying, my own is finished. You are not finished. You are just starting. I remember a young lady when we were in the university. I told that story of a young lady who, we had this man, this lecturer that he takes this, there's this course he takes. And when the girl entered the exam hall and she finishes Yoruba, you know, Yoruba are very expressive. She came out from the exam and said, Baba Tikpamio. That's Baba has killed me. And the person was telling us, Baba de pa, that she failed the course. And I remember that story because when I did that course, I did a course that is similar to it. And then I came out the exam hall. And I told myself, I said, I won't shout that they're killing me. because sincerely that lecturer had dealt with me. And I remember, because I remember that course, at least based on my own assessment of my coursework, all the paper I had 5 over 40 in the control assessment. 5 over 40. I'm not talking about 15. I said 5 over 40. So I was like, when I entered the exam hall, I was like, God, I need deliverance. And I sat down. And I was looking at the exam paper. And I was not any wiser than when I entered. As foolish as I entered, that is how foolish I left the exam hall. I looked at the paper. I just wrote everything I could. I just wrote anything that was I could write. And I remember I just said, God, I don't need more than 40. I don't need 41. I don't need 42. I just need 39. Let my people go. Amen. People are laughing. Don't worry. There are Goliaths that are standing your way. You just have to remind yourself, I'm not going to die here. When I went to the board and I saw 40. I cleaned my eye very well. I saw 40. I went to my room. I came back. I saw 40. I came back the week after. Just to be sure that what I saw was correct. Look, I know what I'm saying. My classmates who carried over, they did it 3 times before they passed it. 3 times. I'm not going to allow any lecturer to intimidate me. I'm a child of the living God. I just kept on telling God, don't forget who I am. Don't forget who I am. Amen. Because you see, in life, there is nothing as discouraging as when someone shows you your helplessness. When a man believes he is helpless, it is the most discouraging thing that you can experience. Can you turn your Bible with me to Isaiah chapter 41? Isaiah chapter 41. But I can tell you without any doubt that we are not helpless. We are not helpless. I said we are not helpless. So when Goliath is intimidating you and making you feel helpless, what you need to tell him is, I am not helpless. All of my help comes from God. Isaiah 41 verse 17, the Bible says, the poor and needy seek water, but there is none. Their tongues fail for thirst. I, the Lord, will do what? We hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. So when Satan is intimidating, when Goliath is doing all his bravado, just tell him, God will hear me. God will not forsake me. You know, there are times when the enemy wants to put you in a position where you feel like there is no hope at all. It is time to tell yourself that the God I serve hears me. The truth is, yes, you might not be able to determine the times and the season of your deliverance, but you can be assured that your deliverance will come. Goliath tormented Israel for 40 days, at least. If you read the Message Bible in verse 12, the Bible says, I like the way the Bible says, he said, enter David. The man wrote it, they wrote it like it was a movie. That's how script writers will write. You say, enter. They will not say, Abi, where's Pastor Edoko? Dr. Beko, yes. Am I not correct? Yeah. Enter, then they will say the person that entered. Once they stay like that, that means that person has a pivotal role to play. God will send you a deliverer. Amen. Let me say this to us also. Lamentations 3 verse 37 says, who shall say a thing and it will come to pass if the Lord has not spoken it? Look, no matter how loud the enemy roars, they are not the Lion of Judah. It doesn't matter how loud Goliath shouts. It didn't matter how loud Goliath will scream. And no matter how loud he spoke at the top of his voice, Goliath is not the Lion of Judah. So when Peter says the enemy comes against like a roaring lion, he didn't say the enemy is a roaring lion. He sounds like a lion, he acts like a lion, but he does not have the capability of a lion. Because the one who speaks for you is the lion. Amen. And in case you don't know, God doesn't have to talk about your giants because he has spoken about you. You know what is why Jesus didn't spend time caring what the Pharisees did? Because he knew what was said about him. So the Bible says in the Gospels that when they wanted to throw him off a cliff, he said he walked through them because his time had not come. It means even if you are at the edge of being destroyed, until when the word of God over your life is fulfilled, you are going to experience deliverance. It is only when there is no word over your life that you can be afraid of what will happen to you. But if there is a word over your life, you do not have anything to fear about what will happen to you. But you must walk in wisdom. And you must walk in the fear of God. The third weapon I want to talk about this morning that the Goliath employed, the third device of Goliath, is the device of fear. We've spoken about the device of deception, the device of intimidation, the device of fear. Verse 11, the Bible says, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Like I said, the message said they lost hope. They lost hope. Permit me to say this to us this morning. Fear is the ultimate goal of the enemy. Because the man who is afraid will never try anything. You see, every time when you see people begin to intimidate and send lies, what they are trying to do, they are trying to instill fear in your heart. They are trying to make you believe something that will make you not to look at the ability you have been given and not to utilize what you have been given. The moment Israel became afraid, they lost their courage, they lost their boldness. Do you understand? It takes boldness for a man to leave his house to go and fight somebody. Abi? Or you think, why are you not in Sambisa Forest? Do you think that if the army came now and said we should recruit, some of us will run, we will claim ages we are, you will claim sicknesses that you don't have. That's why you don't see very well. That's why you have K leg. That's why you will claim also because you know that it is not everybody that becomes a warrior. But when warriors begin to run away from battle, there is something that they have seen that goes beyond their human understanding. A man begins to live in fear. Or let me put it this way, a Christian begins to live in fear when he begins to live his life by his human understanding. Because you see, the human understanding means you must be able to explain everything. It must make sense. You must be able to see a way out. You must be able to see how to deal with it. So when you are dealing with something that you cannot see a way out, what do you do? Do you understand? Let's think about the coat of mail of Goliath. Do you understand that it meant that no ordinary weapon could pierce that armor? Because if he's weighing something that's up to 58 kilograms, how thick will it be? I'm almost sure that his armor is, well, the thickness of armor might be even thicker than their spear. So you look at your weapon, you look at the man, and you say to yourself, why should I bother? When you see soldiers running away from the face of battle, it is not because they are fear, they are what they call it, they are cowards. Oh. It is because their calculation says my life is better than this war. It is not because they are cowards. It is that they have seen that if I deploy my weapon, I won't go anywhere. To borrow our phrase, let me live to fight another day. And there are some times in our lives that's the issue. You are dealing with something that you are saying to yourself, oh, let me just allow this thing pass. Let me just. There are some of us that are being tormented by people that shouldn't torment us. But because we are just afraid, even this, what will people say, keeps some of us in bondage. You know this is what you're supposed to do, but you're afraid what they will say. What will my family say? What will my people say? What will my friends say? Let them say. That's why they have mouths. Look, God gave each person's mouth to say what his mouth wants to say, and so that they can be judged by what they say. So, you have the permission. You want to talk about me? Please talk. Like somebody said, if they don't talk about you, you are nobody. So the more people that talk about you, the more of a somebody that you are. Please, I am doing application for people that want to talk about me. Send in your application. You don't even need to send. You are employ yourself. I don't even need to send application. Just employ yourself. You are employed already. Just. Say they abandon Israel's covenant. They abandon Israel's destiny just because of the fear that Goliath put in them. Do you know all the people of Israel put their trust in that army to defend them? So they were not there fighting for themselves. They were fighting for a people. And somebody needs to hear that. Look, your destiny is not for yourself alone. There are people tied to your destiny. God told me that many years ago at university. One day I was praying about something, and then God said to me, he said, look, you can't afford to fail because there are people whose destiny have tied to your own. So you must understand that the enemy is attacking you not just because of who you are, but because of the people that you are fighting for. Because he understands that if he removes you from the way, then he has a free access. It is time to stand and say, I am not going anywhere. No matter what you want to say about Israel, one thing I love is that they didn't run away. They stood. Every morning for 40 days, they will come out. They will insult them, but will go back. Do you know what it means to be coming every time to be insulted? They were waiting for somebody that will have courage, but they said, we are not going. There are some of us, that's all you need to do. God will send you a deliverer. Just don't go. Don't open the door. Don't give way. Because if the soldiers had left that place, Philistines would have just entered the town. Because when fear steps in, then you begin to want to protect yourself. Self-protection steps in. You want to defend yourself. It is where fear sets in that love disappears. Have you ever seen, I don't know how many of you understand or believe this or you have noticed this, that people are becoming more bloodthirsty in Nigeria. This week I went into town, and as I was going, I don't know what this young man did, I don't know what he did. But this boy started throwing stones at him. He was in school, he went to steal something. They were throwing stones at him. They were using sticks on him. They almost broke people's glasses. because people park their cars close to the school. I don't, anyhow, the young man came out of the school and he ran away. And they followed him. They said, he was already going, no? And they were talking to him, no? And he was going. And they said, no, we must kill you today. One person just said it. Say, no, we must kill you today. And the other person said, yes, yes. And he just said it to me. He got to the business of them. Entered the corner. I don't even know what is wrong with him. He's having to hide. Where to stand. So they were already passing him. I think one of them saw him. Ah, gosh, yeah, man. Then they followed him again. They beat him as well. And I was asking myself, have we gotten to that point? There is a fear that makes people to continue to look for how to protect themselves. When you see the cry for self-defense, self-protection, it is not because those people want to take the law into their hands. It is because they are afraid of what will happen if they do not. So when you see armies Israel, Israel's army not going out, it is not because they were cowards. I will say it again. It is because they thought to themselves. Maybe one of them, he told, my wife just born me the king. Now think to yourself, my children will grow up without father. Let my brother do it. But the brother will say, I have not married yet. I want to marry. Let my other brother do it. Everybody has an excuse why they do not have to fight. But let me say this. If you do not fight, who will fight for you? This battle, my host Goliath, is a call to war. It is a call to war. There are two groups of people. You are either the army of Israel, and don't tell me, I'm not saying this is bad for Google. I'm just giving you a picture. There are two groups of Christians. There are people who see themselves as people who need deliverance. There are people who see themselves as deliverers. Like that song said, he said, God is raising an army. The army that God is raising is an army of deliverers. It is not an army of those who need deliverance. There is nothing wrong in needing deliverance. I'm not saying there's anything wrong in needing deliverance. But there is a level higher when you become a deliverer. This morning, God has asked that we should pray for those who have the call to be deliverers. Please allow me to say, the battle against Goliath is not an option. You must fight. If you go to verse 9 of that scripture, it says, Goliath said, if he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. It was not an option. It is either they stay there or they fight. Or they run away. Can I say this to us? Sometimes the challenge in our lives is not that we are running away, it's that we are stagnant because we have refused to confront the enemy. This is the season to confront your Goliaths. The time of being stagnant, of saying, I'll come and see what Goliath will do today. Maybe Goliath won't come out today. That time has passed. It is time to confront our Goliaths. We must fight. We must fight because our reward is tied to our battle. In verse 27, when David was asking the servant, when he was asking the warrior, he said, what will the king do to the man? And they told him, if the man can kill Goliath, the king will, his family will not pay taxes. And he will marry the king's daughter. Your reward is tied to your battle. Fight. There are young men here, you are looking, you are praying for a wife. Look for her. They didn't say you should pray for a wife. Look for her. Fight. Stop casting and binding spirits. She's not a spirit, she's a human being. Toast her. I didn't pray my wife into my life. And I'm still trying my best to learn how to toast my wife anyway. Toast her. Don't be doing that. Rabba. Stop rabbiing. Fight. You keep making us come here to be praying for people that are single. People are, you are supposed to have found her. Fight and stop making, giving us extra prayer points. Yes, I agree with you, man. Stop dulling yourself. I'm just giving pastor extra work for nothing. Come and fight. If you need skills, there are many young men here who can teach you the skills of toasting. Yes, I'm saying it on the other hand. I'm saying it. Apply. Look at your... You ought to be a teacher. I say you ought to be part of the class. Amen. Don't worry, there are plenty of teachers here that are already sending their CV. But we need to realize that if we do not do something in a war, you have to wait for somebody else to do it. Can I ask you a question? Have you not waited long enough? There are some of us who are praying, God shorten the time, God shorten the time, and God is looking at you and saying, what are you here for? What time do you want shorten when I have given you everything it takes to fight this battle? That is the case of Gideon. The Bible says Gideon was hiding. When the angel came and said, you great and mighty man, what was in his mind is, who are you talking about? But what God was telling him is, you are the salvation of Israel. Why are you hiding? God said, I should ask somebody here. You are the salvation of your family. You are the salvation of your office. You are the salvation of your church. You are the salvation of your nation. Why are you hiding? It is time to conquer Goliath. It is time to destroy Goliath. The Bible said that when David got to Goliath, after using his sword, he said he cut off his head so that he won't mistakenly cut off the neck. And how many of you have killed a chicken before? Many years ago, I remember we killed a chicken in our house. No, this was not shaking. We caught the chicken. The chicken just stayed. So all of us believed the chicken had died. We put the chicken inside the hot water. And the chicken came out. Thank God I was not in the phase of fall down and die. Because that's what I believe. All my ancestors have come out of that chicken. The chicken was just dancing. We caught the chicken, cut off the head. The chicken kept on dancing. We just left the chicken there. We were looking at the chicken. It kept on pulling. It scattered the whole chicken before it finally died. Look, when you cut off the head of something, no matter how much you shake, it must die. If it like, let it die. Die. If you like, let it shake, shake. Shake all the shake you want to shake. Die, you must die. So that Goliath will die. That Goliath must die. But you must cut off the head of Goliath. God did not come and help David to cut off the head of Goliath. God did not come down to help David to fight Goliath. Everything that David needed, God had put inside of him. I want to say to somebody here, everything you need to be victorious, God has put it inside of you. You celebrate the victory of others, it is not the same as when it is your victory. when the Bible says celebrate, it just those who rejoice. It is true. But it's also good when people come and rejoice with you because you are rejoicing. I pray for you that in this season, that people will come and rejoice with you. Because you have rejoiced with other people, that everything that needs to be released for them to rejoice with you will come your way in the name of Jesus. So we are conquering Goliath this year. We are conquering Goliath in this season of our lives. We are not going to fall prey to the deception of Goliath. We are not going to be intimidated by the power of Goliath. And we will not let the fear of Goliath to stay in our hearts. Because we are overcomers. We are overcomers. I don't know how many of you want to pray. But this morning we are going to pray. I said we are going to pray. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. The first prayer we are going to pray is that God will give you every skill and weapon that you need to totally defeat Goliath. If you go to verse 38 of that 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 38, the Bible says, Saul clothed David with his garment, with his armor. But David could not use it. In verse 40, the Bible says that David chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. And he used his sling. That special weapon that will allow you to gain access to the weakness of Goliath. You're going to pray that God will give it to you in the name of Jesus. That skill, that ability that needs to be developed in your life so that you can deal with the Goliaths in your life. Look, sometimes it is what you say that is... I don't know if you listen to what our pastor gave, the testimony he gave. He said that the man, they sent the man to him to be a spy so that he can be killed. He said it was when he was tested. He said it was... Do you know what God used? It was not his... knowledge of saying this man came to me. It was the goodness and love that God put in his heart. As he was sharing that testimony, I heard God, he said, the weapons of your warfare are not carnal. There is a skill, there are weapons that don't need noise. They just need consistency. You're going to pray for yourself this morning. I don't know if you are here, you want to pray for yourself. But I want you to take a posture of prayer, whether it is that you want to stand, whether you want to kneel, whether you want to lie down. I want you to pray for yourself. Father, every skill, every weapon that I need to totally defeat Goliath in my life, I receive them in the name of Jesus. Let us pray in Jesus' name. Every tool, every wisdom that I need, to pull down Goliath, to destroy Goliath, to totally annihilate Goliath in my life. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray every skill, every weapon that I need to totally destroy Goliath in the name of Jesus. Let us every skill available to me, everything that I need that I'm not aware of, let me discover them in the name of Jesus. Let me discover the weapons, let me discover the skills that I need, Lord, to totally destroy Goliath in the name of Jesus. Let us Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let us untregedere boshinda kalabaha. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let us untregedere bosha. Le prende gede bosho pregende galabondeha. Le prende gede boshinda galamanu sendeha. Lord, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. That prayer is important because some of us, the problem is not that we're not fighting. The problem is that we're using the wrong thing to fight. As long as it was the spear and the sword that came against Goliath, Goliath's armor was stronger than anybody's armor there. So the defense of Goliath was stronger than anything Israel could offer. But David had a special weapon that could enter into places that the armor of Goliath didn't cover. That's why you are praying for yourself, that God will give you the weapon and the skill. Look, there are people who you are fighting with, that all you need to do for them is one goodness. There are some people that the day you just do something good for them, it will be as if everything that they did against you will just disappear. Or you did against them will just disappear. But you need to know, because sometimes somebody has hurt you so much that when they are asking you to do them a favor, you are only thinking of what they have done against you. God will give us grace. I'd like to pick a partner. We're going to pray a second prayer. And you're going to pray. In verse 1 of that scripture, the Bible says that the Philistines came against Israel. That's what verse 1 said. He said the Philistines came against Israel. They gathered, the army of the Philistines gathered against Israel. And they came on the land of Israel. You're going to pray with your neighbor. You're going to agree with your neighbor. That every Philistine spirit fighting against me for my territories and my possession, they will serve my purpose in the name of Jesus. Because in verse 9, what Goliath said to them was, if they kill me, quote and unquote, whoever wins this battle will become servant to the other. You are going to pray that God, every Philistine spirit, every Philistine forces, whatever enemy, Goliath, whatever he is called, that is fighting for my possession, that is fighting for my territory, that God, they will serve my purpose in the name of Jesus. Let us pray in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of the Philistine, every army that has set a camp against me, against my territory, that has put their feet upon my territory, they will serve me in the name of Jesus. They will serve my purpose in the name of Jesus. They will serve my purpose in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. No matter what they are called, no matter how long they have stayed, every army, every Philistine army, every army that has come to fight for my possession, to fight for my territory, that is standing against me, you will speak to you, you will serve my purpose in the name of Jesus. You will serve my purpose in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. My Bible tells me that you can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. Which means there's nothing anybody can do that can be against God. In case you don't understand, at the point where the battle with Goliath was happening, people didn't understand it, but that Goliath was serving David's purpose. You Because God put Goliath there to give David a glory that he couldn't give himself. What David could never have done for himself was what Goliath did. So when your enemies serve your purpose, they will open doors for you that you could not open for yourself. I'd like you to pick another partner. In verse 42 to 44, that's of that 1 Samuel chapter 17. The Bible says, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. He belittled him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. But when you go down that scripture, as we've said before, the Bible says David cut off the head of the Philistine. You're going to agree with your partner that the shame Goliath meant for me will turn back on his head in the name of Jesus. That shame that Goliath has said is your portion, that defeat that Goliath meant for you, that God will turn it back on his head in the name of Jesus. Let us pray in Jesus' name. Meant for shame. Every defeat that Goliath meant for me, every shame that Goliath meant for me, God, turn it back on his head. 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 In the name of Jesus. Every setup, every trap that Goliath has laid for me to put me to shame, turn it back on his head in the name of Jesus. Turn it back on his head in the name of Jesus. Make a tradable shinda labaha. In the name of Jesus. Make embrodobo shinda kalabuha. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I'd like you to pick another partner. Let's pick someone close to you and pray with them. In verse 24 and 25, of that First Samuel chapter 17, the Bible says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, that's Goliath, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give him his father's house, give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. Do you know the truth? It was not as if the warriors did not know what was happening. They said Goliath came to defy Israel. By extension, Goliath was defying their God. But yet, none of them had the courage to come up. The Bible says they were dreadfully afraid. They were dreadfully afraid. I don't know if you've ever been so afraid that you can't even move. I've ever seen when somebody maybe goes into the road and the car is coming and the person is just... The person knows what is happening, but the whole system has shut down. They were dreadfully afraid. Everything that they knew disappeared. It's like when a student enters the exam hall and he looks at the question and he just believes, I don't know anything here. Look, it doesn't matter what you know. It just vanishes. Most people will tell you, they are honest, that sometimes when they enter the exam, it's not because they know everything. Maybe it's only one thing they know. So they'll say, okay, let me start with that one. Maybe as I'm going, the others will come. And usually that's what happens. As you keep going, the others begin to come slow. But when you are afraid, in the depths of your person, everything that you are and know will disappear. You are agreeing with your neighbor that everything that has stolen and is stealing your courage and confidence, they will be rebuked in the name of Jesus. You are rebuking every spirit, every Goliath, every enemy that is stealing your courage, that has stolen your courage. You rebuke them in the name of Jesus. Let us pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. We're going to still pray. You're going to pray for yourself. We have prayed against the Goliaths and the enemies. But one thing that over the course of the week, as I was meditating on the weekend especially, one prayer that kept resounding in my heart is, God, in any way that I am a Goliath to myself, set me free. Because some of us, we are the ones that are deceiving people. We are the ones that are intimidating people. We are the ones that are putting fear into people that we should not put fear into. And then we are standing and praying against the Goliath. We need to be delivered. Some of us, we are the enemy of ourselves. You don't need anybody to tell you anything. Some people stand and tell themselves, I'm useless. I don't have anybody. Some people, the ones that attract themselves, what they should not attract, they don't. In any and every way that I am working as a Goliath against myself, Father, set me free in the name of Jesus. Let us pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, in any way, in every way that I am exhibiting the characters of Goliath, in every way that I am living as Goliath, and I'm a hindrance to myself and to others and to the church, I pray, oh God, that Lord, you will set me free. In your mercy, oh God, you will set me free. In your mercy, oh God, you will set me free. Leketebo shenda kalabosa. In every way, in any way, that I have become a Goliath to some, to the church, that I have become a Goliath where I am not supposed to be. Lord, show mercy. Deliver me from these tendencies in the name of Jesus. Deliver me from being an enemy of myself. Deliver me from being an enemy of myself in the name of Jesus. That I will not be an enemy to myself in the name of Jesus. I will not be an enemy to myself in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, we'll pray. You are going to pray for yourself. That, Father, I receive the spoils of my victory. I receive the rewards that are attached to my victory. Every spoil of war, every bounty, every good thing that comes as a result of being an overcomer, I receive them in my life in the name of Jesus. That this season when Goliath will be conquered, I will not just conquer Goliath and go home the same way I started. Because the Bible says that in verse 27, I believe it is, or 54, sorry, of that first Samuel 17, the Bible said of David, in verse 54, it said, and David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to the Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his head. So the sword of Goliath was his property. The armor of Goliath became his property. Everything that Goliath, that defined Goliath, became his goal. You are praying for yourself that every spoil of war that is my portion, I will receive it in this season in the name of Jesus. Let us pray in Jesus' name. Of being a victor, the benefits of being an overcomer. I will not fight without evidence of victory in the name of Jesus. The spoils of war are the evidence of victory. I will not fight without the evidence of victory in the name of Jesus. Everything that makes my victory incontestable, Baba God, I receive it in the name of Jesus. Everything that makes my victory incontestable, Lord God, I receive it in the name of Jesus. Lord, 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 in the name of Jesus. Leketebo sombregede de re, rapade anda galabo sombregede debo I receive the spoils of victory in the name of Jesus. I receive the spoils of victory. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I receive the spoils of victory in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. It's important to understand why we are praying that prayer also. The Bible says that after David returned, though Saul had promised him his daughter, he did not give him what he promised. So because you fight and win does not mean those who are supposed to bless you will keep their word. So that's why I pray. So that those people to whom it behoves them to bless you for what God has used to do in their life, they will do as they are supposed to do. There are spoils that come to you directly from war, but there are spoils that come to you because you help to fight for somebody. You know, sometimes you don't understand that in the office. You work and work. When your guy has somebody, when he needs work, he will call you. But when it is time for conference, he will send the busiest person in the office. When it is time for promotion, he will look for an excuse. He won't give you. Sometimes it's just because the person says, if I promote this person, I hope will do this work. But you cannot stop being effective because somebody is cheating you. But when God fights for you, you will receive the spoils of victory. Because the spoils of victory are the evidence of your victory. The final prayer I'm going to lead us to pray this morning. I'm going to pray for Nigeria. I want us to hold our hands in sevens as much as possible. Seven people. Seven, 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 seven. That is what God said we should do. So that's what we're going to do. These pastors are just complete. Seven. They are not pastors. Seven. That's not seven. Seven. Is it complete? No, it's complete. Amen. Where you can be seven, please be seven as much as possible. The Bible says that David came and Israel received deliverance. Abi? David came and Israel received deliverance. The prayer we're going to pray for Nigeria as well. That God will send us deliverance. Well, to be more precise, God will send us a deliverer. Someone that will deliver us from every form of Goliath that is oppressing our nation. Whatever it might be, whether in our history, whether in our present, anyway. Look, the history of Nigeria didn't start the last 16 or whatever years. How many years of democracy now do we have? 20 something, man. 20 something, Abi. No, not, I didn't say independence. I'm talking about our democracy, the one we have now. Nigeria didn't start 20 years ago. There was 39 years before this democracy began. And what I would like to know, there has been intimidation and deception and fear that has pervaded this nation for these past 59 years. In one form or the other, we need a deliverer. Someone that will arise and deliver us from the hand of Goliath in this country. I want us to pray and agree. 7-7. That's why I pray like that. That God, we will send us a deliverer and you will give us a mighty deliverance. Let us pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, every Goliath that has been standing, that is standing, that is intimidating this country, that is subduing this country, Baba God, we decree that you will send us a deliverer in the name of Jesus. Let us seek a table, someone who will not be afraid to confront the issues as they are. Someone who will not be afraid to confront the history as it is. Someone that will not be afraid to confront every abnormality as they ought to. In the name of Jesus. Someone that will deliver us from the foundational issues of this nation. Foundational fears, foundational lies, foundational intimidation in this nation. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let your living waters flow over my soul. Let your Holy Spirit come and take control of every situation that has troubled my life. All my cares and burdens unto you I categories of people that God laid on my heart that we should pray for today. The first category, God said that you are asking for help for a particular thing. This is not a general request for help. There is a particular thing that you know that you can point to that if help comes, you said, yes, this is the hand of God. God said, you are asking for help for a particular thing and you want the hand of God to send you help. It might be deliverance, it might be assistance, but you need a breakthrough and you need the hand of God. God said, if you are here this morning, you should just come forward.
Father, Spirit.
let me re-emphasize. Because I hear God say I should re-emphasize. You are here for a specific thing. You know why you are here. You have what you're asking God for. And you know that when God gives you an answer, you will testify. So please, I'm saying this again because that is what my spirit said. I should re-emphasize. If you do not fall into these categories, please just stylishly just go back. So if you're here this morning and you're standing in front and you are here because you are asking God for help, specific, measurable help, I'd like you to just tell God why you're standing. Be specific about what you want. Don't tell him when, just tell him specifically what you want. The help that you want, tell him specifically the help that you want. God said, when you finish praying, you should just put your hand on the altar and touch your head and say, I receive it, and go back to your seat. You don't have to pray as long as any other person. So please, when you just finish praying, you're sure you have finished praying, just put your hand on the altar, your right hand, touch your head, say, I receive it. The second group of people that God wants us to pray for this morning. Says God, saying there are people who sense a call of David upon their life. A call to be a deliverer. Or maybe you're already in the process. There is a burden to lift your family from one level to another level. And you feel like you are fighting this battle to change the level of the life of your family. What is your office? I sense God saying there are people who have that burden in their hearts. Especially for some people that have it for their family. And I sense God also say there are people here that you are the only believer in your family. And so you feel like you are carrying everybody. Anytime they need, things are hard for them and they need prayer, it is you that will come. But every time you say, turn your life to Christ, they will say no. And the burden is heavy on you. Before David went to meet Goliath, the Bible says he was anointed. He was consecrated. God says he wants to consecrate you. He wants to give you divine empowerment to fulfill this task that you believe he has put in your heart. It might be for your church. You feel a burden for your assembly, for your church, to lift the church to a new level. If you are here this morning, I would just like you to come forth. Maybe for your family, maybe for your church, when you see yourself walking in that line of David. second group of people that I think God wants me to call forward this morning. God says, you are in personal battle and you are about giving up. And you're asking for a refreshing. You want God to refresh you. You want God to give you fresh oil. Because you are tired. You are tired of fighting. You are tired of the pressure. And you don't want to give up. It's almost like you are the last line of defense. And you're just like, if I give up, everything is going to come to you. I want God to give you a refreshing. I would like you to stand behind these people. Just give space. If you are here, just stand behind them. Just give a small space so that we can separate them. We want a refreshing. Those of us who are in front of you, just pray for yourself. If you are anointed, you can just go back to your seat. Sing to Jesus. Jesus, sing to the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Please do not take the anointing for granted. Do not do whatever will contradict the anointing. The anointing is not permission to do as you like. The anointing is a consecration to a specific person and a specific purpose. You have come for God to enter the situation in your life via the anointing. It means you must honor God with the anointing. You deserve all the glory because all the glory belongs to you. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for the songs of victory. Thank you that the camp of the righteous will celebrate and shouts of victory. We'll give you glory.
we will rejoice because Goliath is defeated. We will rejoice because Goliath is totally, absolutely defeated. Father, we bless you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Praise the Lord. Let's stretch for the hands.